This audio production is brought to you by the Islamic Institute of Toronto.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma inna nahmaduka wa nasta'inuka wa nasta'inuk wa nastaghfiruk wa nusalli wa nusallimu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Brothers and sisters, it's my pleasure once again to welcome you to another episode in our series, Illuminate Your Life. And today we are dealing with a very, very important tradition that speaks to us about the importance of halal ways of earning income. Usually we confuse halal with eating halal meat. Meat slaughtered according to the requirements of the Sharia. And this is a very limited understanding of the concept of halal in Islam. The concept of halal in Islam is more importantly covers the source of our earnings, our livelihood. They have to be pure, they have to be ethical, they have to be lawful. And that is the topic of this hadith. I will read this hadith in Arabic, translate, and then explain this beautiful concept of halal so that we can empower ourselves and practice this religion in the right way. Ayyuhan nas, inna allaha tayyibun la yaqbalu illa tayyiba. Wa inna allaha amara al-mu'minina bima amara bihi al-mursaleen. Faqala ya ayyuhur rusul. كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ وَقَالَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُلُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ الرَّجُلَ يُطِيلُ السَّفَرَ أَشْهَثَ أَغْبَرْ يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ يَا رَبِّ يَا رَبِّ وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ وَغُذِّيَ بِالْحَرَامِ فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ الرَّاوِي أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ الْمَصْدَرُ صَحِيحُ مُسْلِمٍ. The Messenger of Allah said, O people, Allah is pure. إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ. He accepts only that which is pure. Allah issues the same commandment to the believers, the same that He has issued to the messengers. Allah says, O messengers, eat from what is good and lawful and act righteously. Indeed, I fully know what you do. And, O believers, eat from the good things we have provided for you and give thanks to Allah if you truly worship Him alone. He, the messenger, then mentioned the case of a man to illustrate this point of importance of lawful halal source of living. The Prophet gave the example of a person. He travels all long distance, appearing disheveled and dusty because of long journey. He raises his hands in supplication in Arafat, crying out, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb. Yet his food is earned through haram, his drink is from haram, and his clothes are from haram, and his entire body is nourished by haram. So how can he expect an answer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The narrator is Abu Hurairah. We have mentioned that he was one of the greatest transmitters of traditions from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the source of this report is Sahih Muslim. Of course, it's also found in other collections. According to Imam Nawawi, the above hadith contains fundamental rules and principles of Islam. And Tufi says it's an extremely beneficial hadith, as it teaches us the rules of dua, its condition and obstacles. Ibn Daqiq al-Eid says, the hadith teaches fundamental rules and basis of our faith, and it stresses the importance of spending from lawful income and prohibition against giving or spending from that which is unlawful. So when we give charity, it has to be from the lawfully earned income. The same way, that it teaches us that our food and drink and clothes must be acquired from lawful sources, free from all taints of haram and doubts. Clarifications of the hadith. Allah is pure, He accepts only that which is pure. Allah introduces Himself to us in the Quran with His beautiful names and attributes. He is all perfect and free of all imperfections, weaknesses, and limitations. So we ought to recognize Allah as He has introduced Himself to us. He is incomparable in His essence, in His attributes and actions. Even as He is free of all imperfections, His orders are also free of all imperfections. Hence, since He is pure, He accepts only that which is pure. He accepts only actions that are free of vices, such as ostentation, show off, pride, self-glory. Likewise, He accepts only charities that are given from lawful and pure earnings. Allah's order to all of His prophets is the same. So even as He orders His messengers to eat only of things that are wholesome, pure and lawful, the same applies to all of His servants. Ya ayyuhur rusul, kulu min at-tayyibati wa'malu salihah. O messengers, eat of things that are wholesome and pure and do good works. The verse hints, there's an allusion there that our worship and good deeds are acceptable only when our livelihood is ethical and lawful. That is the lesson the Prophet wants to teach us by citing the example of the man who has traveled for Hajj from faraway place, travels vast distances, he appears disheveled and dusty, and raises his hands crying out to Allah in Arafat, begging for His mercy. The Prophet said, even though he has all the signs of a humble suppliant, he cannot expect Allah's answer. Why? Because his source of livelihood earned, his livelihood earned through unlawful means, cheating, haram means, lying, and betraying the trust. His food, drinks, and clothes are bought through unlawful income, and in fact, his entire body is nourished in this way. So he cannot expect Allah's answer. Once Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, one of the prominent companions of pioneers in Islam, asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how can I make sure that Allah answers my prayers? The Prophet replied, Sa'd, atib mat'amak tustajab. Make sure you earn your living through a lawful means so you can hope to receive Allah's answer for your du'as. So the lesson that we need to learn from this beautiful hadith is that it teaches that Allah is the possessor of all the attributes of beauty, jamal and jalal, glory, beauty and glory. He is merciful, He is gentle, He is pure. At the same time, He is also just. And He is free of all imperfections and limitations. Thus, Allah is pure. He accepts only that which is beautiful and pure. Stresses the importance of having a lawful source of livelihood. Prophets are our role models and we ought to emulate them. While it is also good to cry out to Allah in a humble adoration, humility, expressing that utmost humility, we may do well to know that often we do not elicit a response from Allah because of various obstacles, because there are obstacles. Why our prayers are not heard? This is a question people ask. I myself should ask, why? I have been praying, making dua, but why Allah is not answering our prayers? Because of our sins, we may be guilty of severing the ties of kinship, or dishonoring or displeasing our parents, or unlawful earnings or practices, or acts of disobedience. So all of these are obstacles. So one may ask, since all of us may be guilty of some form of sin or other, how can we then expect an answer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The answer is, some sins are heinous, while others are minor. In case of the heinous sins, major sins, before we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ought to make tawbah and then beg for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah has assured us in the Quran that He is ghafirul dhanb qabilut tawbah. He is the forgiver of sins and acceptor of repentance. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to purge our hearts of our vices and our purge our income of unlawful sources of living income earnings, and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making sure we repent and ensuring that our income is halal, lawful, not simply focusing on eating halal meat and thereby assuring ourselves that we have that done everything that is halal. Of course, halal is much more than that. It's more importantly having an ethical source of living. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
You have been listening to an audio production by the Islamic Institute of Toronto, Education for Virtuous Living. Please visit our website at www.islam.ca.